Good afternoon, everyone. Where is he? I see him. Before I get into my sermon, I got a story I want to tell. A little while ago, David and I were playing a little joke on Mr. Wine. The three of us were standing around talking. We had worked this out before. And David suddenly said, "Wait, hold up a minute. It's just, I had this implant in my head and I'm getting a phone call, but it's not important. I'll take it later." So we talked another few seconds. I said, "Wait a minute." I said, "I had this implant in my arm and I think I'm getting a text message." So Mr. Wine ran off or walked off. He came back a few minutes later, and very unusually, Mr. Wine normally is dressed impeccably. Every hair, and I don't know how long that takes, is in place. His clothes are impeccable. He's wearing a beautiful tie today, by the way, but pay attention to it. But hanging out of his pocket were like three sheets of toilet paper. And I'm stunned. Not Radford Wine. So we're sitting there talking to David. And I look, so he looks and he notices this. He says, "Oh, I think I'm getting the facts." Not to be outdone, of course. He always comes out on top somehow. When we gather each week for Sabbath services, there's one thing that I notice that's very, very obvious. We like to talk to one another. It's always loud. It's always a lot of buzz. And I think that God is extremely pleased with our desire for friendship and fellowship. Fellowship with each other. But is he pleased with the content? Is he pleased with the sincerity? This afternoon, in the short time that I have, about 15 minutes, Mr. Zeman, so you'll have plenty of time. This afternoon we'll look at biblical instruction regarding our conversation with each other. And we'll deal not so much with the content about what it should be. We need to talk to each other. And sometimes it doesn't necessarily have to be a special topic. We just need to talk to each other. I'd like to begin this afternoon with one of my favorite scriptures. Turn to the book of Malachi. Malachi, the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading in verse 16. In verse 16 says, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those that fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I will make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him." And what I'd like to do is go through this in a little more detail. I'd like to start with verse 16 again. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. God listens to our conversation. He hears what we say. And does he hear just the good things? Does he hear the bad things? Well, let's keep your hand there. Let's turn over to Matthew 12. And we're going to read verse 36 and 37. This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, but I say to you that for every idle word that men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. If that applies to all men, how much more so does it apply to us, the called of Jesus Christ, called into this church? Do we realize that we are being judged now for every idle word that we utter? As we proceed through this message, if you don't remember anything else that I say, except for the part about Mr. Wine, if you don't remember anything else that I say, I'd like you to remember one thing. When we speak to each other, God is listening. When we speak, God is listening. The next sentence is, so a book of remembrance. I'm sorry, back to Malachi 3, verse 16. So a book of remembrance was written before him. Now, God doesn't need a book of remembrance. Turn back to Psalms 105. And we start reading in verse 8. It says, he has remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham, and his oath to Isaac, and confirmed it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as the allotment of your inheritance. So God remembered his covenant. Let's drop down to verse 42, same chapter. Verse 42. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought out his people with joy, his chosen ones with gladness, and gave them the lands of the Gentiles, and they inherited the labor of the nations, that they might observe his statutes and keep his law. So God has perfect memory, but yet for those that speak of him, that speak together of him, he is actually creating a book of remembrance. He doesn't need the book, but perhaps this book of remembrance is for a time to be when it will be shared with others. Go back to Malachi 3. Again in verse 16, it says, for those who fear him and who meditate on his name. We're talking about godly fear, not someone who fears him because they fear what God is going to do, but it's a godly fear. If they esteem him, they esteem him very highly, and they meditate and think on him very often. And then in verse 17, if you think about it and meditate on this, it kind of gives you goosebumps. He says, they shall be mine. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on that day when I make them my jewels. They shall be mine. Let's go to Exodus 19. Again, keep your place in Mount Malachi. Exodus 19, and read verse 4, from verse 4 to 6. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself, brought you to me. This is God speaking. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now let's go to 1 Peter 2. Pretty much the same sentiment, but I'd like to read it anyway. First Peter 2, verse 9. This is talking about us. Us sitting here. Us that speak together about God. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And now let's turn to Isaiah 62. Again, holding your place with Malachi. Again, just a reminder, God is going to make those who speak about him his people, and these are going to be his jewels. 62, let's start reading in verse 3. You shall be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land or any more be determined desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah. Now that's explained in the next two sentences. The word Hephzibah means, I delight in you. So the next line says, for the Lord delights in you. And the word Beulah means married. And your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall our God rejoice over you. And brethren, we all remember the relationship of the bride and the bridegroom, with the church being the bride and Jesus Christ being the bridegroom. Again, back to Malachi. In verse 18, I'm sorry, the latter part of verse 17, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. You know, it's not always easy to tell. It's not always easy to know who is the righteous and who is the unrighteous. Satan is a master disguiser. In our midst, not necessarily in this congregation, are those who are more interested in serving themselves than serving God. But we will know. We will know. Because once God makes his choice, once the bridegroom chooses his bride, we will be able to very clearly discern who serves God and who does not serve God. So I'm going to read those three chapters once more before I go into the subject I want to cover. Or it says, then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another. That's us. And the Lord listened and heard them. God listens to us. And a book of remembrance was written before him. God remembers those conversations. For those who fear the Lord and meditate on his name. And God promises, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day when I make them my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. Brethren, God expects us to speak to one another. He takes pleasure in that speech. He remembers it. However, what type of conversation should we have? Let's look at some biblical instruction concerning conversation within God's church. And I'd like to remind you, as we go through some of these things, that our conversation that takes place is being overheard by God. He is listening. And because we are his chosen ones, he is judging. So God is listening, and he is judging us. Turn to Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse 17. Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth in Jesus, that you put off, you change, you get rid of the old man concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and true holiness. We're to change from one way to a different way. And that affects all our way of living. It also affects our conversation. Verse 25 says, therefore, putting away lying, each one speak truth to his neighbor. Lying. What is a lie? A lie is a statement that you have knowledge that is not true, but you tell it anyway. You tell it anyway. Are there any lies that are acceptable? A little small lie. A little small lie. Now, I have to tell you that the statement I made about rapid wine was a joke. I don't think any of you expected that or believed that was true. So I just want to clear the plate. It was a joke. It wasn't a lie. Which doesn't mean I don't lie, because we all deal with that to some extent. But a lie is telling something that you know is not true. Exaggeration. Exaggeration. I got a raise this week. It's $10 an hour. Your raise might have been $8 an hour. That's a lie. It may sound good. It serves no purpose. It may be, in your mind, seem harmless because the people you're telling to may have no, it will affect them in no way, either positive or negatively. But it's not true. It's not true. I used to run a 100-yard dash in 9.9 seconds. The 10-yard dash, maybe, but not the 100. You're thinking about your past, and you exaggerate. Why? Sometimes you exaggerate just to make yourself appear bigger than you are. If you forget, that's one thing. But remember, a lie is having absolute knowledge that what you're saying is not true. What you're saying is not true. I got 3 promotions in 1 year. I was so good, I got 3 promotions 1 year, and early the next year, I even got another one. Why? What's the point? It's a lie, but we really, really don't want to try to convince each other that it's true. Because God is listening. God is listening. If we give our word, I will be at your house at 6 o'clock. And you know that you're not going to. Now, circumstances happen. But you know, I don't get off work till 6:15, but it'll be close to 6, so let's close it up. Now, that's a lie. May not seem to hurt anybody, but it's a lie. If we give our word, keep it. If we can't do something, or don't want to do something, or whatever the case is, say no. If you say yes, and you know you're not going to do it, it's a lie. If you have an honest reason, give the honest reason. If you just don't want to, you just don't want to. But brethren, we need to put lying out of our lives. We need to put lying out of our lives. Because whatever conversation we have, God is listening. God is listening. Stay in Ephesians 4, let's drop down to verse 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. In James 4, verse 11, I will read it. It says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother and judges his brother, speaks evil of the law and judges the law. Speaking evil of anyone, particularly a brother, is corrupt communication. It's communication that, for the most part, has a bad purpose. To tell someone something about someone that's not, tell someone about one of us that's not true cannot have a good purpose. It has a bad purpose. We should not have that type of conversation. Let's turn to Hebrews 3. Keep your place in Ephesians. going to go back and read this briefly. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, building up, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Turn to Hebrews 3, and we're going to start reading in verse 12. It says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Lift each other up. Have uplifting conversation. While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Let's drop down to verse 30. I'm back to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. And this is a very, very, we read over this sometime, we just go past it. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Don't let God be sorry. Don't let him feel like he made a mistake. Then you go to verse 31, it gives more explanation. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. But rather, instead of evil speaking, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ also forgave you. If you've done something to offend someone, if you have a problem, make peace quickly. Make peace quickly. Quarreling, arguing, has no place. No place among the brethren of God. You can be angry. But if you're angry, solve the problem as quickly as you can. Solve it immediately. We're called to be peacemakers. We've heard several sermons about that. So let it be your job. Let it be your job to make the peace so that we can stop the quarreling. And brethren, your closest brother is the one that you live with, the one that is there with you every day. And their position, and I don't have time to go into this in detail, but their position as a called one of God trumps their position as a wife or a husband. So they deserve to be treated. They deserve to be treated with the same respect. They deserve to have the same level of conversation, the same level of respect as any other fellow Christian. So the things that apply to us about each other here in the congregation apply to our wives, our husbands, our brothers, our sisters, our parents, and whatever other relationship we have. Christ said, if you love me, if you love your mother, your father, your son, your daughter, more you love me, you're not worthy of me. It applies, this conversation between Christians applies to husbands and wives as well. So be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving, even as God in Christ forgives us. Let's stay in Ephesians. Let's go to chapter 5. We'll start reading in verse 4. I'm sorry, let's start reading verse 1. Therefore, be followers of God as dear children, to walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking, no coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather give thanks. Now I want to read verse 4 in the New Living Translation. It says, obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. In the New International Version, it says, nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather there should be thanksgiving. The story that I told at the beginning, I wanted to tell that story because I wanted to give an example of what was a little ribbon. Mr. Wine and I generally rib each other. I kind of missed that. I missed him being up here speaking. We generally rib each other as we speak. But he never denigrates me, and I never denigrate him. They're not coarse. They're not obscene stories. They're not coarse jokes. Just a good-natured kidding, I guess, is a better way, best way to describe it. But brethren, there are jokes, there are stories that are told that can destroy people, can destroy them, whether they hear them or not. Even if they don't, if it doesn't destroy them, it destroys us. It doesn't belong with us. Obscenity does not belong with us. We use this mouth. We talk to each other to lift each other up. Remembering always that we have to give an account, that God is listening and God is judging. He's judging us. Let's drop down to verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. The psalms are full of inspiring, inspirational information that will help anyone be lifted if they will simply partake of them, or sometimes we need to remind them. We talk about how God has blessed us. We talk about how God has blessed each other. We sing songs together, like we're going to do in about 2 minutes, maybe three. And we speak together, and God is listening, and He is pleased, and He remembers, and He makes us promises, and He is going to keep them, because while we may lie, it is impossible for God to lie. Let's turn over to one last scripture, Revelation 22. It's just one verse. Revelation 22, verse 17. Because, brethren, there is a conversation that we're all going to have. And it's a wonderful conversation. It's after the marriage is complete. And verse 17 says, and the Spirit and the Bride, say, they speak. They say, come, and let him who thirsts come, and whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. In order to have that conversation, we have to be very much aware of our conversation with each other. Malachi 3, 16, 18 describes a people who have a reverent fear of God, and who speak to one another about that God. And God listened to them. And He claimed them as His own, a very special treasure, a special jewel. He remembered them. He remembered them. And He made promises to them. And brethren, we are among those people. And Malachi 3. We are part of that group. We are among those being described. How exciting is that? How exciting is that? I mean, it's fantastic. When we talk, can we talk about that? You know, we are to be talking to each other. We are one unit. We are one family. When we talk to each other, let's make sure that our conversation is godly. Because after all, God is listening and God is judging.